This podcast is brought to you in part by ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Whether you're buying or selling home, condo, or any type of property, trust Amanda to help match you with up to three top agents in your area. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Rockstars, Washington, D.C. This is the Rock and Maloney Podcast, episode 80. Time to talk about saving, investing, and protecting all of those hard-earned monies. We are here to coach you along your path to retirement and financial independence. I'm Craig, your Dave Ramsey Master Financial Coach, along with Amanda, corporate in-house lawyer and real estate referral agent. We're so grateful you've joined us. Call us right now with your questions, comments, 989-888-ROCK. Check us out on Facebook at Rock on the Money or on the website at rockonthemoney.com. Hello.
Hi.
How are you?
Living the dream.
How are your stocks doing? Because I've not been following my...
Well, I don't really want to talk about that right now.
I'm only down to two stocks and they're both up.
It depends what day it is. So some days they're up, some days they're down.
I'm actually... Individual stocks, I don't have any technology right now. They're all basically in the mutual funds, but not individual. I bailed out of a lot of them a while ago.
Yeah. Well, that was smart because technology is kind of on the downward spiral right now.
Well, I felt like I was missing out because I didn't stay in, but now I would probably been back to where I was is what would have happened. But anyway, I'm down to an airline and a stock that I can't believe I bought, but it is way up. Well, not way up comparatively, but I did buy, ended up buying General Electric.
Oh, yeah. So did my husband. And I don't know. He hasn't been speaking highly of it. So I didn't realize it was up.
I bought it at $6. It just surged the other day to $7.
Now, I thought you had a rule that you don't buy anything under $10.
I know. I'm a hypocrite. When did we not cover this before that I'm a hypocrite?
Yeah, I think every episode practically.
But General Electric was that I didn't put a lot into it, Amanda. I mean, if you compare some percentages, it is a bucket. But it is, and sure enough, I got a buck out of it out of a $6 stock. So that's actually a pretty good gain.
Yeah, if you buy enough volume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, yeah, I want to get in dollar figures, but it is a $5 figure, five digit number. High five. So no,
yes, but it also could have tanked like we've seen some of the other ones.
Well, yeah, General Electric does have risk to it, but anyway, so it was one of those. I just put a small amount as a speculative. Is that what we say?
Yeah. So that's your play money that you are okay if you lose all of it. So not everyone has that luxury. I just want to reiterate that for people.
Yeah, no, it is a small percentage of the total bucket. But But General Electric, even though it looked like it could go bankrupt, is something. It's a long term bet.
It is a long term bet.
It is definitely a long term bet.
If you are still in your wealth building mode, don't do it.
Yeah. I don't want anyone out there to buy General Electric because I have it.
Yeah, I don't even know why you bring this up, because then we just have to disclaim everything you do.
Yeah, because what people do, they copy me, and that's why I try not to. Why did I even bring that up? Don't buy General Electric, even though I did it. I'm a hypocrite. So let's get to the podcast.
You're so frustrating.
I know. I'm a hypocrite. But I'm
don't do anything Craig does. Just do what he says.
However, my accounts are a record high right now. I am at a record high overall for the year. I am up over 70% in my stocks this year.
You know what? I do have news to share.
Go ahead.
So we are under contract for another investment property.
Oh, yeah. Awesome. Yeah. So how many does that get you up to? Three?
Two currently.
Wow. Yeah. God, I'm so jealous. I want an investment property, but I don't know enough about it. I will admit, when I know I don't know anything, I don't. And I'm going to rely on you. I've said that before.
So that's how I diversify my portfolio. Of course, I have the Roth IRA, the 401k, a brokerage account, and then we do rental properties as well.
Yeah. Well, I'm hoping to join in with you or like do something together with you and your husband or something here in the future if my other side hustle turns out to kick in here. So my gaming thing. So I want to use that money to invest. So I just don't stop.
So stay tuned. Hopefully we'll have it under our belt by the end of October.
There you go. All right. What do we got on this podcast?
We have got another full episode of social media questions. We have six today.
Okay, so these questions may be more for you to answer today, I think. We have a couple of real estate house and stuff in there, mortgages. Okay. And whether you can answer them, that's up to you, but we will hit them in there. I put them in there. We'll see what happens. Okay?
Okay.
So question number one from Cameron. So my wife and I finally got our tax return. You know, there's been a big delay in getting those tax returns out. These are refunds from back in tax day, like July or even
they
earlier.
They probably didn't file until July. And then there was a big surge because a lot of people delayed until filing.
And then
my advice is always, 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 and this is where I say always, if you're expecting a return, file as soon as you can in the beginning of the year.
Oh, yeah, because the hackers will take your money, too, by the way.
Not just, hackers will jump in and try and file under your Social Security number. Also, this is what you risk because then there's a backlog.
Yep. And during COVID-19, being here in the D.C. area, I don't know if people realize that because a lot of IRS people working at home, sent in your tax return through the mail, there are literal boxes of returns that have never been touched yet.
They're that's sitting the other in storage. Advice. File electronically. Do not do it on paper.
Yeah, this year, they're still sitting in boxes. No one's even touched those. So anyway, I just saw that.
So the other thing is, even if you have to pay in, it's still okay to file early. You don't have to pay the tax until the tax is due.
Right. Going back to the question, they're in baby step two. They just got their tax return. We finished paying off another credit card, $535, and my wife's card, $1,900. Congratulations. There is money left over, but more debt to pay off.
That's okay, this statement. Is going to be a simple answer.
That's a weird statement, by the way. If there's money left over, there's no money left over. But anyway, we'll let the money girl, budget girl, Amanda, tell you about that. But here's the question. Just wondering what everyone else did to celebrate small milestones. Is it acceptable to take $50 or so to go out and do something? See, Amanda, you've talked about this. That's why I wanted you to talk about this. I'm thinking of renting kayaks for a couple of hours, and that would be a great way to get out and enjoy. Before you slam me, I know kayaks don't cost much to rent.
Yes, I say this is perfectly acceptable. You have to celebrate the small wins. You did a great job paying off this debt. I think $50 is an acceptable amount of money to do that. And then the rest of it, so presumably there's more than $50 left over to pay the debt. So $50, go ahead, celebrate your wins, and then continue to refocus and be gazelle intense.
I completely agree. And I want you to answer it because you've touched on this so many times and you do it so well. And go out and have lunch and dinner after you have the kayaks. Make it a day and then get back to it. You're only spending $50. That's very reasonable.
Which is still a fair amount of money. That could be another payment on something. But I think it's perfectly fine.
They're not going to
celebrate your wins. Right.
They're not going to Dick's to buy a whole kayak.
You can't be celebrating, I made a big payment. Right.
I mean, they did $535 and $1,900. It's okay to pay $50.
And they wiped out those debts. So they didn't just make big payments on them. They actually closed out those line items.
Right. Good job, Cameron and wife. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. Social media question two. Nicole says, I had a mortgage broker tell me not to worry about the price of a house, just the mortgage payments to make sure it's in the range. Well, that sounds like somebody trying to pull the wool over my eyes.
Nicole, your instincts are correct. I would find a brand new mortgage broker. This is, to me, it's unethical and bordering on criminal. Mm.
But they do the same thing when you go buy a car, too. Worry about the payments, not the total cost. That's when you run.
Yep.
Yep. It's like buying anything. They try and gear you to the financing monthly charge, and you're not, and then you're ignoring the thing. They love you do for that because they get the biggest benefit out of you. And
they'll do all sorts of things like, you only have to put 15% down or 3% down or no money down. And then you're stuck paying PMI, private mortgage insurance, which is a couple hundred dollars more a month, or, you know, could be thousands. If you looked at how much you're ending up paying in interest, of course, the mortgage broker is going to tell you don't worry about the payment, because the higher the purchase price, the more money they're going to make over the life of the loan. And it can be hundreds of thousands of dollars in interest.
There you go.
You're paying a huge amount of interest in every month and barely anything towards the principal.
Nicole, you have a good gut reaction, and you are totally correct. And that goes for a lot of things out there.
Run. Don't walk. Run away from this mortgage broker.
Everybody's out to get your dollars. You just have to figure out why do they want it. That's my advice. Always check. Everybody want, they'll do anything to get your money, guys. Everybody. I mean, that's their job. So, question number three. Barbara, they are in the process of getting a mortgage. This is all like the mortgage show. They are in the process of getting a mortgage for November. My husband and I are putting 20% down. And if we stick to the plan, not aggressive at all, like we can still vacation and not trim the budget, we can pay our mortgage in full by the end of 2025, Amanda. That's 5 years from now.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I know a 15-year mortgage is recommended, but why do we not do the 30-year and have more money towards the principal? Is this the only recommendation if you plan on making minimum payments? Please help me because I need to convince my husband.
Well, I don't know which way she's trying to convince him. I'm not sure.
I mean, you only have 5 years left to pay this off. I wouldn't even worry about the 15 or 30. Just pay it off.
Not left. They're actually making a brand new purchase, Craig.
Well, how are they paying this off in 5 years?
Well, they might be close to having enough for the purchase price, but not quite enough. Like, I've run into that situation before.
So I guess they're talking about their 5 year. Well, they're getting a 15-year mortgage, but they're going to pay it off in 5 years.
That's the part that confuses me. She has a point that during the first few years, while they're continuing to pay it off, they're going to have to pay more in interest each year. And, you know, you don't get a tax deduction or anything for that.
No.
So this might be the rare case. Now, first of all, people who have these great intentions of paying things off fast, it's a super high percentage of people that actually don't follow through.
It's like 95% of people do not do the extra payments. It's something like that. It's in the 90s. Yep.
But you know you, and you know how disciplined you are, and only you can make that determination for yourself. In this case, I might actually agree and lean towards the 30-year mortgage because you tend to get a better, you're putting more towards the principal with each payment. And so you actually might be able to pay it off faster than the 5 years if you're paying more towards principal and less towards interest.
I did not know that. You're the guru on this. So
yeah, you might get a lower interest rate on the 15-year though. So you're going to have to do the math. It's not a clean, because you're not going to get the same interest rate.
In over 5 years, how much money are we talking about saving here? Is that
thousands?
Yeah.
Thousands.
Okay. Yeah, I think they need to do some math on this. And we don't even know what the balance is. I mean,
it depends on the purchase price. It could be tens of thousands.
Right. But they're only putting 20% down.
Well, here's the thing. Banks don't want you to put more than that down. They won't write you.
Oh, I got you.
They will jack up that interest rate because they want to make their money, and they're banking on you taking the 30 years to pay it.
Oh, so then they're going to take the other money and then apply it after they close.
Right, exactly. That's what I end up having to do because, you know, even my lender of choice will say, well, you don't have to put 25%. So I do 25%. They're like, you could do as low as 15%. I'm like, I'm not doing that PMI. I'd love to put 50% down if I could, but they won't let you.
I see what you're saying. So go ahead and close.
They won't give you a loan. If you want to make too much of a down payment, they're like, this isn't worth my time to go through all this underwriting.
Because they need to make their money. I got you.
They want to, and they're planning on you not following through with your plan to pay it off.
I did not know that. That makes sense. Everybody's out to get your money.
Yeah. So that's why it makes sense to me that they might have a plan to pay it off in 5 years, because they probably have close to the purchase price. But lenders aren't going to write you a loan if you want to put down most of the money. Mm.
Even I learned something from Amanda today.
Wow. I mean, you could probably get a personal loan rather than a mortgage if you're that close to the purchase price, but
ooh,
personal loans have a higher interest rate usually.
Yeah, they do. Yeah.
A lot less underwriting, though.
Yes.
What a pain.
Okay. Well, you're the one going through all those. I'm hoping to do that here in another year or two. So, yep. And I'm coming to you with Choice Realty Connect. I'm going to need you in your service to help me find a realtor. So, all right. So let's take a quick break and we'll knock out. How many more questions did you say we had?
Yeah,
over there?
Three more?
Yeah, let's take a quick little break and we'll come back and we got questions about what? Working a side hustle at your desk. That should be good. And then something about debt with car loans. So anyway, we'll hear all about this. I love the next one, question number four. So we'll come back right after this. You're listening to Rockin' the Money.
Amanda here with ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. Eliminate your stress. Whether you're buying or selling your home, I'll be honored to help you find an expert to work with in your local area. At ChoiceRealtyConnect.com, I will help match you with up to 3 qualified licensed agents that specialize in your specific market. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com serves every zip code in all 50 states with a network of 15,000 top-rated agents that are ranked within the top 5% for sales. Whether you're looking for a condo, new construction, retreat, vacation properties, or you're a first-time home buyer or even a seasoned buyer, let me help connect you with the perfect top agent today. ChoiceRealtyConnect.com. The choice is yours.
Craig and Amanda, and don't forget to check out our website at Rock on the Money. And let me just do a quick reminder, we are now on Amazon Music. For all you Amazon Prime people who love your Amazon Music app, we are now on there, so you don't have to use a whole separate app for your podcast. Do everything and run that one player that you're probably using in your car or whatever, and we are on there. So Rock on the Money, we were invited to be part of that, and we are now on Amazon Music. There you go. It's kind of exciting.
It is exciting.
And now we're Milton millionaires because of that. Not really, no. People. No, we're not.
We're multi-zero-ers.
We are giving Amazon free content and we're just spreading our audience. But it is more convenient if you're already using that app for your free music as part of your membership. It's not really free. It's part of your membership benefits of being Prime. We're already on there, so it just makes it more convenient for you guys. So we're happy that Amazon allowed us to be part of the initial launch of that. It was very nice to be part of that. I know a lot of people were, but it's nice to have that invite. Yeah, it's kind of neat that you got big enough that you're invited into the initial batch. That's kind of cool. And no, we got nothing out of that other than pride. So, hey, I got a question for you. Question number 4. This is from Jennifer. You ready for this one? I love this question. This is a neat conversation. I have free time during my regular work hours in the office. What kind of side hustle can I do at my desk? We would love to boost our Baby Step 3 contributions. Okay, how are you going to answer this, Amanda? As a boss or as this person sitting at their desk? It's a weird question. He's like, well, if you have free time during your regular work hours in the office, like, how secretive do you need to be? So here's what I'm thinking, man. Let me set this up.
And this is the litmus test, right? What you do at your desk, you should always feel comfortable to have your boss walk in and look over your shoulder. So if you wouldn't do it with your boss looking over your shoulder, you shouldn't be doing it during your work time.
And part of that is a lot of places monitor the internet traffic. So if you're doing it on your phone, that's one thing. But if you do it on the work computer, they might be more aware of it than you realize.
Oh, yeah. I've seen people get fired for that before.
Yeah. Like if you're on eBay all day or Amazon doing Christmas shopping, stuff like that. Yeah. It's different doing it on your phone wireless through your provider instead of doing it on the network. Because now you're using a work computer to make side money. So
Yeah. If you wouldn't do it with your boss looking over your shoulder or feel comfortable having them walk in while you're doing it and looking over your shoulder, then you shouldn't be doing it. And here's the other thing. If you're being paid on an hourly rate, that they have an argument for embezzlement because you're using the time that they're paying you for to work on something else. Okay. It's like stealing money from them.
So now that we've gotten through the legal and ethic part, what kind of side hustle can they do?
I am not getting into that.
Okay.
Yeah. The only side hustle you can do are things that are passive income that you have to put zero energy towards while you're sitting at your desk.
Yeah. Now, if you're
work on it at night, build up things, and then let the money grow during the day. Like, what's a good one?
Selling stuff on eBay is great.
Selling stuff, yes.
But make the end of the auction not during your work day and have it end in the evening or on weekends or something like that. Because I know if it ends like 2 o'clock in the afternoon, I know you're going to check it. And your phone makes that weird cash register sound near the end when people start bidding. It does sound like a cash register, and it's going to distract you from work. If you have it on, people know what that means. Yeah. Every app has that sound.
Right. Unless you turn off all of your sounds. I don't have an issue with people doing things on their lunch break.
Right. Yeah. So if you want to have an auction end like during the 12 to 1 o'clock hour, whenever your lunch break, that's different. But a lot of places, you're really not on the clock during that time. So.
Yeah. Or if you need to make phone calls on your lunch break, you know, to monitor your side hustle, that's fine.
But if you do it on your computer and you're on their network, even Wi-Fi, trust me, they know what you're doing. Mm-hmm. It's so easy. It used to be different 5-10 years ago, but now they can do screenshots. And you guys
even
have
if
no
you're
idea.
On your phone, but using their Wi-Fi,
they know.
They can track.
They know.
Keep that in mind if you're looking at porn on your phone at work, too.
Yeah. You know how many times I live in Washington, D.C. area, and how many federal workers are looking at porn? That's always in the news. I'm like, really? Yeah. Are you that stupid? And they do it on the federal computer. I'm wondering why they don't have firewalls going. Anyway, I question the IT people. Anyway,
I love your enthusiasm and...
Yes,
but you're not even trying to get out of debt at this point. Your baby step 3 contributions are building up your emergency fund. So
you need to. I appreciate this the hustle and all that, but you also don't want to lose your main source of income at the same time.
Yeah, then you're going to need to dip into that
emergency fund. You're going to really need that emergency fund if you get fired. So hey, people do get fired for that, guys.
I've seen it happen firsthand.
It happens a lot more now because the software and the systems, and now that people are working at home, I don't even know how that works. Because you're not really on their network, but you do log in to get on their network. So I don't even know how that working home thing works during COVID. So anyway, question number 5.
Yeah, so work from home right now is a little bit different situation. Yeah. It depends. So again, here, it depends. If you're getting paid a salary and you're based on getting your certain things done in a certain time frame and you're meeting all of your targets, you may have a bit more flexibility.
I don't know how it is in Florida where you're at, but here in the Washington, D.C. area, we have a lot of tons of office buildings here because the federal government. People are going back to the offices, but they're doing that alternate thing. So there's a cubicle space. So some people only go in 2 days a week and they alternate. So I know people are working at home. You're working in pajamas and all that stuff. Don't get lax in how you do your work at home and then you carry it back to the office. Right. Put yourself back in that office mindset. I don't want anyone losing their jobs because you got used to doing other things while you're at home.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be careful, guys. Eventually, we'll go back to normal. I don't know what that is. Question number 5 from Brandon, Amanda. I finally saved $100,000 and could literally pay off everything, including my house. Why is it so hard to spend money when you've worked your butt off to save? We've talked about this before.
Why is he saving that much instead of paying everything off?
Well, we've talked about this before because you may people will have all this
debt. Emotional, but the bigger problem is he shouldn't have ever built up this much of a savings if he hadn't paid off his other debts first.
Right. We don't not know what his baby step level is. It should be 2. He says pay off everything, including house. So I'm assuming baby step two. You should have been paying off everything. Two.
There's no reason his savings should have ever reached this height.
But isn't this, you've talked about this before. It's a cycle. Yeah. People save it up at like, they like looking at
that hoarding,
number.
You're hoarding cash.
Right.
And just like the show Hoarders, it makes absolutely zero intellectual sense for you to have this giant hoard that is actually negatively impacting the rest of your life, because now you're paying a ton in interest on things, and that's money that's just going down the toilet every month.
You're literally losing money.
You're losing thousands of dollars a
month. Just because you want to rack up this game, like a video game score with your 100,000, because you think it's like a Pac-Man score or something like that, when in actuality, you're losing.
Yeah.
You are. But people look at, I look at as a game score, like you're playing a video game. It's like, oh, look at all those points I scored. But you're actually losing the battle.
Yeah. I'm actually very disappointed in this question.
I know. I am too. But I see it a lot, Amanda. We get these questions. They have all this debt, but they don't want to spend their money. I'm like, yeah, but you're actually losing at a fast rate you're saving. You don't realize it. You just want to save money.
Especially with savings interest, the rate it is today.
Yeah, you don't make money. You're losing.
You are losing tons and tons of money every month. Pay off your debt. Pay off your debt.
The savings rate doesn't even keep up with inflation right now.
Nope.
Mm-mm. Yeah, it bugged me when I put it in there, but I've seen it so many times when I coach people. They don't want to lose that money. They like seeing it. Like you said, use that term, hoarding cash.
If you looked at your mortgage statement, so what, we're in September now, just look at the line item that says your interest paid to date this year, you're going to be sick how much money you're spending in interest.
Once again, that's a good point, because I look at that and bug me. No, it's yeah.
It's just money in the toilet. You're getting no equity based on from your interest payments. You're getting no benefit from it. It's just money going straight to the bank, right into the garbage disposal.
And they are loving it. They love it. Yeah. And he probably has cars and everything in there. He says pay off everything, including the house.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. It's going to make you sick when you look at how much interest you're paying every month.
Brandon, sit down, write, get out the checkbook, pay off, be debt free. And then you could easily bid back to 100,000 before you know it.
Oh, yeah. You'll build it back up quick.
It's actually a faster rate because you're still making payments. Brandon, I know it's going to hurt initially, but then you're debt free.
Rip the Band-Aid off.
Yeah, that's it. Question number six from John. I currently have $35,000 in stocks and $15,000 in my military retirement plan. I have two car payments and owe about $50,000 in car loans. Should I focus more on paying off the car loans or keep focusing on investing? Did we just not answer this? I am currently investing 22% of my pay at $965 a month. Should I lower the amount to be debt-free? No credit card or student loans.
People aren't listening to us, Craig.
No. I posted that in our Facebook group the other day. I'm like, you guys are not listening to anything we say. And they keep saying this. I hate to get rough sometimes with the people in our group or the questions. I'm like, do you even listen to the podcast? See, we can say this right now because they're not listening. No, we can. Because we have a lot of people in our group. We have thousands in there. And I guarantee by looking at listeners, we do not have that many people listening to the podcast. You're just as frustrated as I am.
Yeah, I'm about ready to shut the page down.
And force them shut the group down and force them onto the page.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm with
you. Group down.
How many times we need to tell them this stuff? Okay, so guys, the baby steps. Baby step one, $1,000 emergency fund before you start paying off the debt. Baby step two, we do not contribute to any retirements whatsoever. Zero.
Zero. You should be investing 0% of your pay at $0 a month until your debt is paid off.
So that $965 could be going towards that $50,000 in car loans. Are you insane?
Yeah. Again, look at your line item of how much interest you're paying on that every year. You're going to be sick.
Two car loans, Amanda. Two car payments in total of $50,000. Sounds like you need to sell a car. Or two.
It does. Yeah.
50,000?
Yeah. You know what, though? I see a lot of military people make really, really unintelligent decisions. And I've even seen it of people that I know that listen to the podcast, and it makes me just super annoyed.
Firefighters are in that same group. I don't know what it is about trucks and stuff, and I'm not picking on trucks. Don't get me wrong. But firefighters, here's what firefighters do, and I saw this in my career. They get a promotion. They're getting a 10% increase in pay. I watch these guys. They study hard for retirement, on promotion. They go to a lieutenant or captain, right? What do you think the first thing they do is they find out they're getting promoted? They're right on the internet searching for trucks.
Yeah.
Or a boat. And they're instantly, they're raising their level of living with the pay, which means they're not getting anywhere.
Yeah. John, anyway. You're doing everything wrong.
Right.
That's all I can say is everything about this is wrong. You're investing 22% of your pay. We always say you should only invest up to 15% of your pay until your house is paid off. Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything about this question is wrong. So wrong.
I do want to give him credit, though. No student loans, which is fine, but he has no credit card debt. At least that's one thing.
Yeah, that's awesome. So we're down to two cars.
And I don't know if you have two people. I don't know if you have a husband, wife, or whatever these vehicles are. But you either have to make a decision if you're going to sell one of these vehicles and downgrade both of them. Because they both sound like new cars. If you have $50,000 in car loans. I don't think it's that important. And I doubt you're driving that much right now anyway. $1,000 a month going to retirement. You need to pay these things off. Now, you take that.
You know what I see is people come, especially in the military, they come back from a deployment and they have all this hazard pay and deployment pay. And it feels like they've got a bunch more money than they used to have. And they buy like a BMW.
Really?
There's so many like M series sitting on the bases and Teslas. And yes, they come back and buy a car.
You know,
it might be one car, Craig.
Yes. Same thing with firefighters because they'll respond. I know this is a whole world that the general public doesn't know. Emergency responders, so if they go to like a hurricane deployment and they're out there working, on a 24-hour shift for days and it compounds. They come back with $20,000-$30,000 after a hurricane.
Yeah.
And you know what they do with that money? They blow it.
They immediately, it feels like free money.
Their paycheck gets a 50% tax cut. Because it threw them in a high tax bracket, okay? But they still have 10, 15,000 left. Or a snowstorm. These snowstorm emergencies, cops and firemen make a ton, or the snowplow workers, they make tons of cash out of these things, right? The world has no idea. And they instantly go out and they go on a shopping spree. They don't put it away or buy stocks. They blow it. I see it.
This guy
all the
is
time.
Putting it away. He's putting 22% of his pay. Pay off your debt.
Do the baby steps. You don't have to like Dave Ramsey, but these baby steps are actually loosely based on many different forms out there. Everybody has the same thing, but it still comes down to paying off the debt first, and then you invest afterwards. It's a common theme, whether you like Dave Ramsey or not, or someone else. They're all very similar. It all works. Study after study shows it works, and these vehicles are killing you.
Yeah.
So if you want to keep them, that's fine. Work overtime, whatever, pay it off, but stop doing your investing. So that would be your answer. You need to be debt free. You guys will have so much more money out there if you would be debt free. I'm telling you from personal experience, it just compounds. It's insane how quick it builds up if you have no debt going out. It's crazy. And you don't have to make a ton of money, Amanda. It just happens because it's not going anywhere.
Right.
It's weird. Until it happened for me, I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, how did my bank account get that high? And then it's like, I got to invest it. I got to make it work. I got too much saved up. You know what I mean? So I got to put it somewhere. Anyway, I try to make sure my money works. Anyway, it's just, it's great. Of course, I won't stop working. That's the other problem. My incomes keep coming in. But anyway, that's a whole nother issue. But anyway, I think we got a little frustrated with that second half.
Yes. People need to listen.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Amanda. We need to go take some Tylenol. So we'll be back again next week. Thank you very much, Amanda.
All right.
You can find Amanda on Instagram and Twitter at Agile Amanda. And you can find me on all of your favorite social media platforms at Rockland USA. Don't forget to check out the website and subscribe to the podcast. All the links are right there on the front page, rockonthemoney.com. Please subscribe and leave comments to our podcast on Apple, Google, Spotify, or even your favorite app that you got right there on your phone. Those help us out a lot. If you're ever looking for a specific topic or content that we've produced over time, just go to the website and in the search bar, just type in your topic, be it 401k, stimulus check, or anything, and everything comes right up for you. We have so much gratitude that you've taken the time out of your day to listen to our podcast while you're walking, driving, traveling, or whatever you're doing. Please send us an email. Let us know how you're doing out there. podcast@rocklandusa.com. So long, everybody. Thank you very much again. We'll see you again next time. All opinions expressed by the host are solely their own and do not reflect the views of any company, affiliates, or advertisers. Investments or strategies mentioned in the show may not be suitable for you. Before acting on any information in the show, you should consider whether it is suitable for your particular circumstances and strongly consider seeking advice from your own financial or investment advisor.